your places and be seated. And you can open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. And we're beginning a new part of a series this morning. We've moved from asking big in 2020. And if you have your notes, you'll see the things that we believe are the big things to ask God for. And now we're moving into receiving, not only asking, but receiving and then giving it away. Sowing our seed for the glory of God. And so we're going to start off from this passage in Mark chapter 4. Before I do, we're going to pray, okay? So Lord, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it never returns void. It always accomplishes what you desire. I pray, Father, for good hearts today, fertile hearts to receive the word and plant it that gives life to us today. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here with a stony heart or a hard heart, Lord, that just doesn't get the seed or the seed doesn't last, the plant doesn't last, that, Father, that you would do such a work in these days to come and allow us, Lord, by the power of God, to break up the fallow ground of our heart. God, I pray in Jesus' name for a word today. Lord, everyone needs the word, and everyone needs a word. And I ask, Father, that in some part, maybe the whole, maybe just a portion of this message would speak so loudly to every single person here, who, whether they're in this place or whether they're watching online or they're listening to this, to a broadcast or listening to a recording. We ask, Father, that you would speak and that we would hear you and respond appropriately. And I pray this message, Lord, would come to teach us how to respond appropriately to receive your word that God is able to do an abundant work. And I pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake, Christ Jesus, amen. So if you have your Bibles, so you're in Mark chapter 4. The Bible says he began to teach again by the sea. And such a very large crowd gathered to him, and he got into a boat in the sea, and he sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And he was sowing some seed. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. And other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, but because it had no depth of soil, and after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up, they increased and increased. They yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then he goes and he explains it in verse 13. Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parable? The sower sows the word. And the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, when they hear, immediately Satan comes, takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on the whom the seed was sown on the rocky places. And when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction, a persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others, they're the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. And these are the ones who have heard the word. But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word. And it becomes unfruitful. And those who are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. What a passage of Scripture. What promise this passage of Scripture has. Because I tell you this, there's this intention of God to come and sow into the lives of people. And he comes and he sows, the scripture says, because he's the sower. It's Jesus. He comes and he sows this seed, which he declares is the word of God. And we can just look at it from this perspective. We can look at it from a number of perspectives, of which we'll be doing this morning. This is the perspective from the gospel being presented to somebody. Where the gospel comes. And I want you to notice something about this sower. He's not just, he's not targeting hard ground. He's not targeting thorny ground. He's not targeting rocky ground. Let me ask you, what kind of farmer does that? You with me? Listen, this farmer has plowed up his land, and he is sowing seed. And while he's sowing seed and targeting the good soil, some of it fall on the ground or on the road, and some of it falls into the stony places and the thorny places, places that have not been plowed up, taken care of. Listen, if you're a farmer or you're a gardener, you don't just go out and just spread your seed on the grass or the thorns or the rocks or the caliche road, do you? No. So hear this. Hear this. Listen, the word is preached, the word is proclaimed, the word is given. And it is broadcasted. It is scattered. And it's scattered to fertile. But sometimes the seed will fall on the hard heart. And the Bible says they hear it, and immediately Satan comes and steals it. Okay. Like the birds do. And it doesn't even have the opportunity for the seed to do its thing. And then he says there's some who, I'm just going to say this, these are lost, lost, lost. Matter of fact, I believe all three are lost, lost, lost. I just believe that. And we can look at it in a different direction, but I'm just telling you this, that Jesus wants to target a heart that's fertile today. And the question that we're going to be asking is your heart fertile for the gospel of God? Is it fertile for a word today? Is it fertile? You might be a believer in Christ and you wake up and because of circumstances, because of some things going on in your life, because of the hardships or the affliction, you know, you've not fallen away. Your plant has not been choked out. But along the way, you know how it is. Things happen. Things come. We get disappointed. And then we wake up and we realize I've got some hardened heart here. Or I've been chasing after the worries of the world. The things of this life, the desire for other things. And I've been hearing the word, but I've not been receiving it with a good and fertile heart. Instead, I've got thorns all over me. I've got thorns all over my life. And sometimes I just can't even hear it. Sometimes I can't even see it. But the seed is there, folks. It's there. And so I want to just kind of move through some things this morning and to talk about these things. But before I do, I want to remind you, I reminded you at the beginning, that we're coming off of this series of asking God for big things. Someone, I don't remember who it was, just told me, said, man, when you first started talking about asking God big, I was just kind of rolled my eyes. And I was going to wonder what this is going to be about. You know? Well, I tell you, you know what it's about. It's about asking God for the things that God wants to do and give in your life. And so I've printed it again for you. Because I'm telling you, some of you say, thinking about asking big, I don't know what to ask for. And so, well, I'm begging you to ask for these things. To ask for the Holy Spirit. To ask the Heavenly Father for the Holy Spirit, who gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. For the Holy Spirit to come. I know the Holy Spirit's in my life. I know the Holy Spirit's in a lot of your lives here today. But I'm asking you as a church family and as a church body, as marriages, to get up in the morning and say, Holy Spirit, I invite you into my day. I invite you into my marriage. I invite you into this decision. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me and to direct me. I'm asking us as a church to ask for wisdom. And like we talked about in this series, and matter of fact, you could go to the app and you can see the five or six messages on these things right here. But what I'm asking is, God, we all need wisdom. Listen, we just set apart some folks, and they're going to need wisdom. They're going to be here, they need the Spirit of God, they're going to need to hear what the decisions that they're going to make this week in sharing the gospel of Christ. They need the wisdom of God. Do you need the wisdom of God? Then ask Him for it. He's delighted to give these big things. Or He's the great high priest who gives mercy and grace in time of need. When you're in time of need, the big thing to ask is not so much for relief, but for the grace and the mercy of God to enter into your situation so that God can work abundantly. Great and mighty things from Jeremiah 33. Peace, the scripture says. I mean, just look at these things. We ask for health, healthy relationships with our spouse, a healthy church, community, state, nation. In that passage of scripture, we find the abundance of peace and truth and for restoration. And we pray for pardon and cleansing so that we might be a name of joy, praise, and glory. Listen, to me, I look at this and I think, this is the heart of God. And the question is will I receive these things, and will I receive them in faith, and then will I give it away? Will I just give it away? Will I be a sower that sows the Spirit, that sows wisdom, that sows grace and mercy, that sows peace and life, that sows the fruit of God, who looks at my life as we look at our lives as sowers? Because I'm going to tell you, it's the principle of nature. It's the principle of nature of a man. It's the nature of the world. It's the nature of God's kingdom. A man, a woman reaps what he or she sows. I'll say it another way. You're going to reap what you sow. Oftentimes when we hear that, we think of it negative things. Don't you? But I'm talking about the great things. I'm talking about the wonderful things. Yeah, we need to talk about the bad things, and we will for a moment. But I'm talking about the great things of God. Listen, the Bible says it like this, in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. If you read on, which I've got to get to real quick, it's a powerful passage of scripture that says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Therefore, do not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And so that while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to all who are of the household of the faith. You sow to your flesh, you reap what? Corruption. We talked a little bit about it in the prayer. Living a self-directed life will reap corruption in your life. Another way to say it is, it reaps devastation. You know that? You see that? Have you experienced that? Yeah. We see it all the time. That's what we see. That's what they're going to see on the beaches of South Padre Island. They're going to see folks sowing to the flesh and reaping corruption, reaping devastation. Listen, there's nothing that you want of your flesh. Because when I sow to the flesh, he says corruption and death. But if I sow to the Spirit, it's life in Christ. It's the life that he died for to give you. It's the glory of God. It's all of the kingdom of God. It's all that he has for you. And you know, I want to really, really encourage us in these days to say, God, we've asked big, we're receiving big, but God, we want to give big like you. We want to sow big, because that's what giving is. It is sowing the seed that God gives to us. 2 Corinthians 9:6, we'll be looking at this in a couple of weeks. Now I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Notice what he says. He says, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Listen, this is a principle, right? I go into my field and I sow a half an acre. If things are right and conditions are right, I'm going to get a half acre. You know, I might get a bumper crop in a half acre, but the guy or the gal or the family that sowed 2 acres, 3 acres, they're going to do what? They're going to get more than the guy or the family or the woman that sowed just a half an acre. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God's a generous God? Do you believe that God is generous? I don't know about you, but I want to be generous. I want to be a generous man, generous husband, generous son. And we're not just talking about money. Matter of fact, we're not talking about money at all. But that's what we kind of move toward. When I talk about generosity, I'm talking about the things we speak, the things we've learned, the things that God's done, the things that God has given to us, which are so powerful. And this is what he's saying. You give sparingly, you reap sparingly, you receive it. And I love the passage of scripture in Matthew 10:8, freely you receive, freely give. Look what Luke 6:38 on the screen says, give and it'll be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. You know, I want to do this in this section here. I want you to go back to Galatians and go to Galatians chapter 5, okay? You know, even talking about the Spirit of God, this is as good as a place to look at this. Now, remember, Galatians 6, you reap what you sow. Sow to your flesh, you reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit, you reap eternal life. In this passage of Scripture, in chapter 5, he tells you what death and corruption is, and he tells you what life is. Isn't God great? God is so good to be able to say, hey, this is the way we live. I've given you instruction in it. This is the way the world walks, and this is why when you walk the way of the world, why your life becomes chaotic and a mess. Because you're not walking according to the plan that I have for you. I've given and I've given. You know, God's given you his grace, his mercy, his blood. He's given you his life. He's given us his word. He's given us the church. He's given you everything you need to live a godly, holy, abundant, intimate life with our great God. You got it all. You got everything that you need if you're in Jesus. But the question is will I walk according to it? Will I live it out? And so he has a word here. Now, everybody needs the word, and everybody needs a word, okay? Clayton, tweet that, okay? Just because it's true. We need the word of God. And we're going to see in just a moment why. We need the word, and we need a word. And I tell you, this is what he says about receiving the Spirit, and what I believe about means to give the Spirit. Notice what he says. I say, walk by the Spirit. And I love the way the original says it. And you will never, ever carry out the desires of the flesh. You see that? Not my word, God's word. I believe experienced by Paul, an experience in some way, in some fashion, in seasons of our lives where we walk by the Spirit. And especially when we move through temptation and we move through things that want to discourage us, through the things that we want to doubt our great God. Let me tell you, you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out you cannot carry out the deeds of the flesh when you're walking by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Is that right? Yes. Is that right? What a great thing. And you know, he's not asking you to do something that he's not going to supply, that he's not going to empower you to do. He's not going to ask you to do something without him coming alongside to help you and to move you through whatever you're moving through. But I tell you, when we move through the difficulty and we move through the heartache and we move through the stuff of this life and we don't respond properly to what God says, I tell you, we'll start living by the flesh, because verse 17 says, the flesh sets its desire against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. They're in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you really please to do, that you really want to do. Now, if you're led by the Spirit, you're no longer under the law. Notice, here's the stuff of the flesh. These are the deeds of the flesh. They're evident. They're immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. When's the last time I read that? When's the last time that that's spoken to my life? Because I'm telling you, what God is doing, he's taking this sword, so to speak, and he's drawing the line. And he says, listen, you can walk after the flesh. You can walk after the flesh. If you'll walk after the flesh, the deeds of the flesh will come. And there's nothing in the deeds of the flesh that you want to walk according to, because they're nothing but devastation. We've seen it in our families' lives. We've seen it in some of our parents' lives. We've seen them in our grandparents' lives. We've seen them in people that we love. We've seen them it happen in our children's lives. We have seen it. When you walk by the flesh, you'll carry out the deeds of the flesh. Period. And it may not be immorality. Because I know people who say, I'm not immoral, but you sure are angry. You sure are unforgiving. I've heard your outburst of anger. I've seen that hate. I've seen that despising. I've seen those things. And that's why we don't compare ourselves amongst ourselves. That's why we don't think, oh, well, I'm not doing that, so I'm not as bad. Think about that with me for a moment. Listen, this stuff does not bring life. It brings death. And I've said this the last few weeks. Me, you, all of us are one or two decisions away from going that way. Is that right? We are. We start making decisions about the circumstances of my life and the way I'm thinking, and before I know it, I can be mulling that over, and I can be walking it out in my mind, and before you know it, I'm walking in the things that I've been bathing my mind in. But what I love what he says before this is, hey, if you walk by the Spirit, you won't fulfill this desire of the flesh. You won't. I was thinking something about when we were singing some of our songs, especially From Glory to Glory. We go from glory to glory, never be the same. Do you believe that today? Never the same. This is what we're talking about. This is what Paul is talking about to the church. He said, listen, if you walk by the Spirit, you're going to go from glory to glory. If you walk by the Spirit, you'll never be the same. If you walk by the Spirit and you're in the Spirit of God, you will not fulfill this stuff. You won't fulfill it. And I love the promises of God. Then he goes on and he says, oh, but the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. It's life. And I'm going to tell you, I've just been meditating on this the last few days. I've been meditating on these nine fruit, and I'm just going to tell you, they are powerful. The fruit of the Spirit is powerful. And I know you hear me talk about it sometimes in a passing kind of way. But I didn't put these in my notes, but I got them here. So I'm going to do this for you real quick. So I want you to notice them just really quick. And hopefully, yeah, there they are. Good. Love through the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience. It's kindness. It's goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He said, listen, if you walk by the Spirit, this will be your life. And I'm going to tell you, when you look at these, you go back for me just a moment. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Let me tell you, there's nothing more powerful than loving your great God and your neighbor and your enemy and loving one another as Jesus loves us. There's nothing more powerful than love. All these words are power, folks. They're powerful to live by. Because why? Because it's the very fruit of the seed of God. It's the very picture of Jesus in our lives. And when I look at this great passage of Scripture, this is who we are. This is what we look like. And it is powerful. Listen, love is so powerful that the Bible says it covers a multitude of sins. No matter what your sin is, no matter what your junk is, love overcomes the multitude of those sins, amen. And if that love is living in me and I've received it, I'm to freely give it. And when I love like Jesus loves and when I allow Jesus to love through me, I want to tell you, my life becomes an extension of Jesus where the people around me, their sins, multitude or not, God is doing a work through us because we're loving. We're loving. Joy. Do you know there's power in joy? The joy of the Lord is what? My strength. Joy is powerful. Joy is contagious. I mean, listen, you know what? So is down in the mouth. That's contagious. I mean, you're a mom or dad, and you go in, and you're always down in the mouth and always grumbling and complaining. Guess what? Junior and everybody else in your home is going to do the same thing. And you're going to wake up one day, why are they so negative? Why are you always down? Why aren't you ever up? What are you talking about? This is who we are as a family. Listen, joy is contagious, and the joy of the Lord is powerful. It is our strength. It's our strength to move through life move through life victorious in Christ. Patience, love, joy. We'll go to peace. Peace is powerful. I love peace because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to make peace with us and God. He's the great high priest that takes the hand of God and takes our hand and brings it together, and we get reconciled. And then he gives us a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of peacemaking. I mean, listen, I love all the places in peace, because the Bible says that one of the pieces of warfare are the shoes of peace. The Bible says that how lovely are those, the feet of those who bring good news. The feet of those who bring good news. I love it because I think, this is what I think about shoes as warfare. Shoes, feet of peace that crushes the head of the enemy. Peace is powerful. Peace, making peace is powerful. Love is powerful. Joy is powerful. Peace is powerful. Listen, I tell you, if you'll just stick with me here, listen, patience. Patience is recorded as the salvation and the deliverance power of God. Patience. I said a couple of weeks ago that peace sometimes seems to me to be the most elusive fruit. I changed my mind. Patience seems to be the most elusive fruit. Right? But I'm going to tell you this. Your impatience is not the fruit of the Spirit. It is a deed of the flesh. And impatience is not powerful. It's devastating. And I laugh about it. We all laugh about it. We talk about how impatient we are. And I tell you this, Patience is the hallmark, one of the hallmarks of the character of God. Why? Because he was so patient with you and so patient with me. He was so long-suffering when you and I were doing our own thing, the way we wanted to do our thing, thinking nobody knew. Nobody knew our sin. Nobody knew our junk. None of that. And God was just so faithful to kind of wake us up again because he's patient with us. Love, joy, peace, patience is powerful. Kindness, powerful. Goodness, powerful. You know, gentleness. You know, I think about gentleness and the power of gentleness. The Bible says a gentle answer turns away what?
Wrath.
In other words, he's saying, listen, this fruit, when you're operating it, can turn the whole course of a relationship. It can turn the course of a conversation. It can turn the whole course of your life. That's what I believe. And I'm going to tell you, this is what God comes and he gives this to you. Goodness, faithfulness, self-control, or goodness. What's the next one? Gentleness. We just spoke about it. And self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. I believe with all my heart, when he talks about the good soil, and it goes into the word, goes into the good soil, this is the fruit that comes out of it. And guess what? It's not just 30-fold, 60-fold, 80-fold, 100-fold. We just ooze with it. That's just who we are. And people come and they pick that fruit. And they participate in that fruit. And they get that because I'm giving it as I love and as I rejoice in the Lord always. And as I walk in these fruits, as I walk in this peace, I'm literally sowing it back into people's lives. This fruit is powerful, just like seed is powerful. Go this week, some of you are already picking up your seed for the spring, and hold it in your hand. One kernel, one grain of wheat, one bean, one tomato. Well, you don't do tomato seeds, you get the plant, I understand that. But you look at that seed and you think, where did the DNA of this seed start? You can't count the generations that this seed came from because there's so many. The seed that produced the head, that produced the seed, that produced the head, the fruit. And you know, I'm just telling you, you look at one seed and there is history behind it. There's history behind it. I mean, that seed can't come unless a seed is planted. And then he says, listen, that seed will be dead unless it falls to the ground and dies. In other words, it won't have any kind of impact unless it falls to the ground and dies. The sower sows the seed, and the seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God is powerful. I mean, think about it in this term. Just look at your notes real quick, and then we'll close. I want to just, please take these notes. Take these notes home. Look at what the word is. The word is, it's inspired by God. It's God-breathed. It's inspired by God, and it's profitable to teach you, to reprove you, to correct you, to train you in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. God's word is alive and eternal. All grass is like, all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. God's word births faith. faith. Romans 12:17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God. God's word brings eternal life. James 1:21 says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. God's word brings transformation. Bible says, sanctify them in their truth. Your word is truth. Your word is perfect. It restores the soul. It makes you wise. The word of the Lord is right. It rejoices the heart, and it lightens the eyes. It's the power of the seed of the word of God. It's powerful, folks. And that's why you hear me read it and cross-reference it and teach it and speak it, because of the power of it. And for you to go home and put it on the shelf and not pick it up for 4 or 5 days is a travesty. It just is. Because of all the word of God does for you and me. And I want to close with this morning, because he says, listen, the seed is the word. It's the word. And so I want you to go to the place where it says to how we respond to God's word. And we'll close with this. I'm always asking God for the word and for a word. Right? So always ask it. Open your Bible. God, show me the word. Give me a word. You know, Jesus said this. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We live on it. And I'm afraid that most people in church, and I'm not talking Cottonwood, but most people in church have a clue about what the word of God really does. I hate to say that, but I read that statistic to you a couple of weeks ago, where 12% of evangelicals read their Bible every day, and another 13% read it maybe 3 days a week. This seed is powerful. You are a product. When I put up the imaginary seed and reminded you of the generations before it, the seed, guess what? You're in the line. 2,000 years of generations where somebody told somebody about Jesus, who 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 told you about Jesus. It's the power of it. So what I want to do is I want to ask God for it, and then I want to believe it. I want to believe what the word says, and I want to read it, and I want to study it. I want to know it. I want to speak the word to you. We want to speak the word to one another. We want to obey the word, and we want to live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Would you bow with me in prayer right now? Would you bow with me in prayer? The power of God. The power of the Spirit of God, the power of the Word of God. Here's what I've been praying. Here's what John Ann and I have been praying. That you will hear a message like this, or you will hear something on a podcast, or you will hear something in your quiet time. It's not just about a Cottonwood message. And that you'll walk away from it not forgetting it. That's my prayer for our church. Because it is so easy to walk from this place and forget how powerful the Word of God is. Your Bible is Scripture. And the Bible says it is God breathed. God breathed it, folks. And every page has the power, every word on the page has the power to come off and unite your heart with faith to believe this word that causes you to cross-reference, to study your Bible, and to cross-reference to see what Scripture says about Scripture. And I want to ask you, folks, I want to ask you, church, How much do you believe in the Word of God? And then how much time do you spend in the Word of God? How much time do you walk away to apply it? To walk by the Spirit where the Word has taught you, where God has taught you in that moment. To say what God says about yourself, to say what God says about Him. To be under conviction that says this stuff should not be in my life, let alone our marriage. And that God has given me the power to walk by the Spirit, so I'm no longer fulfilling the deeds of the flesh, but I'm fulfilling the powerful fruit of my God. Impacting world as I receive it, as I ask for it, as I receive it, and as I give it away. The sower sows the word. Will you receive it with a good and honest heart? Now, Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that we would leave this place not as... Lord, I pray that we would leave this place who effectually hear the Word of God, and we do not forget it. And I want to ask, Lord, right now that you'd settle upon us. And then, God, as we just kind of move through the next minute here, I want to ask you, what has God said? What is God saying to you in these last 30, 40 minutes together? What's the one thing that God has pricked your heart with? What's the one thing that resonated? What's the one thing that God is asking you to do that you're not doing? What's the one thing? What's the one thing? Would you respond right now by just saying, God, I receive that word. And I receive the Spirit of God and the power of God to believe that word, to obey that word, to give that word, to speak that word. This is what I take from this message today. Father God, I pray that you'd bless the word in our lives so that we might not just ask big, we'd receive big, and we'd give big. We'd sow to the Spirit of the living God. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, so one other thing. Assignment. You ask God, I'm trusting that if you ask God and you really wanted to hear God, that God spoke to you. Now I want you, when you get in your car, sometime between now and home, and most of you don't live close, you're going to say to each other, this is what I heard. Now, just be honest. Maybe you didn't hear anything. That's okay. Say that. I don't know. What did God say to you today? And then here's something even bolder. Why not pray about it? If you're with somebody, why not pray about what God's told you? What God spoke to you today? Go from this place to apply it, to live it, to obey it. All right? Amen? That's the invitation. Stand up.